It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
The Cut at 8:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
All right, Scott, first things first, we've got to get on the horn here with us, the host of BYU Sports Nation, BYU TV's own, KSL5 TV's own tonight, Spencer Linton joining us on the program. Spencer, what's going on, man?
My guys, if you have noticed, things are going pretty well for BYU.
This is the best part about all this, is that, and don't tell Scott this, we got to spend the whole first hour talking about it.
The whole first hour talking about BYU.
And whether or not it's the ridiculous college football playoff possibilities, whether it's the Heisman hopeful that is Zach Wilson, or whatever the storylines may be, Scott gave us a breakdown as to why Zach looks so good this weekend and some of the things that he's improved on. And so it's been really interesting, because it's at least good to have really good football being played a year that we don't have everybody playing football yet. So per your view, I want to get the vibe of what everybody is feeling down in Provo. When you guys, you know, go on Sports Nation, is this just like rubbing your eyes going, what are we doing here? How do we take advantage of this?
Sure. It's almost surreal. Like, because 1 year ago, BYU 7-6, and they're going 7-6 for the second year in a row. And over the last 3 years against non-Power 5 teams under Kalani Sitake, BYU had been 11-12. Is that not crazy? 11-12 against non-Power 5 teams over the last 3 years. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just crazy. So now they're winning games that typically they hadn't won, and winning in ways that they hadn't won. And so we're all trying to figure out, okay, what changed? Obviously, the health of Zach Wilson has played a huge role in all of this. His development, both physically and mentally, Scott, I'm sure you can see a world's difference compared to the decision-making that was happening last year, and just his confidence in the ability to make all of the throws. So that's a huge factor. And what the craziest part about all of this to me is that the whole BYU hype train thing hit another level because of the national voices. Typically, it's the BYU fans that are, you know, throwing coal on the fire, and now they're using these national pundits, Kirk Herbstreit and Reese Davis and Pat Forty and Bruce Feldman and Stuart Mandel.
How about Paul Feinbaum? You're throwing some.
But not only that, you have the national game of the week, Alabama and Georgia, and there's a highlight or a graphic showing the comparison between Trevor Lawrence at Clemson and Zach Wilson, and that's on a national SEC football game. BYU wasn't even playing, and so there's that discussion. It's massive publicity for BYU.
Does the average BYU fan buy it? I mean, honestly, because so many times a BYU fan has been burned about how a team looks and how good, quote unquote, good they've been. But I know, having been in that same spot myself, going, okay, should I temper my expectations here? Is the average BYU fan totally buying into what is going on in Provo right here? And do they have the belief that BYU could be at least in a New Year's Six game?
Now, because of what happened against Houston, I believe that there is more buy-in. But if I could rewind to Friday night between local time about 9 p.m. and 10:15, when BYU was down 26-14 late in the third quarter, then no, there was not a lot of buy-in. I just shaking my head as I'm watching all these social media BYU fans chime in, and then the Utah fans chime in and say, oh, see, it's fool's gold. This is, they've played nobody. They're playing a half-real team, and they're not going to win. And then they won that game, and it was like, oh, they did it. They figured it out. Now, typically BYU loses these games. How about this stat? When BYU is trailing going into the fourth quarter under Kalani Sitake, 3 wins, 19 losses. They were trailing at Houston going into the fourth quarter and picked up their fourth win. The team's built differently. There's just something different about it. Well, They're doing things that they have not done.
And it's a lot of that maturity. I mean Zach Wilson, one, is healthy, but he's mature. But it's not just him. The offensive line is mature, more mature. And really this coaching staff. I mean, Jeff Grimes is a young coordinator. And I know there's the addition of Aaron Roderick, but still, Kalani, they're learning how to understand to change momentum. And that's a hard thing. We talked about that a lot in the first hour. But the ability to actually kind of get things rolling back on your side just is a huge sign of a team that's mature and believes in itself. And you just keep focusing on doing your job and not get caught up in, oh my goodness, here we go again, right, kind of mindset. So it's been a good thing. I want to ask you a question, Spencer. Would you rather be 5-0 right now like BYU is, or would you rather, and the schedule, right? And the schedule's mm-hmm. easier. I mean, that's part of it too. Let's be honest.
Yeah, sure.
Or would you rather be a 2-3 team and have the heavy power five?
You got to make it like 3-2.
The 3-2, 2-3, yeah. whatever, you know, I mean, what was BYU at this time a year ago? 2-3, 3-2. Probably somewhere around there. Which one would you rather have? The tougher schedule, or would you rather have? Because this is a. Which one would you rather have? Let's leave it at that.
No, that's a great question, because a year ago BYU was 2-3, but their two wins were against Tennessee and USC. Right. So it was like, oh, these moments of brilliance and amazing highs within the week. But in game number 5, they lose just a head scratcher at Toledo, and everyone's going, okay, who is this team? Zach Wilson just broke his thumb. His shoulder's already not great. What are we doing? You know, why are they doing this? Why are they scheduling this way? So, you know, 100 times out of 100, Scott, I would have BYU be 5-0 and relevant. That's not to say I don't want Power 5 teams against BYU on the schedule, but the way that it's just been so front-loaded, so front-heavy, that they're limping into October and playing these G5 teams that you would think they should handle, or, you know, at least, you know, do what the experts say they'll do. They're the favorites and win the game. And they're just limping into it. No Tyson Williams last year, no Zach Wilson last year, and losing games. Right. It's just super weird.
How about doing all this without, how about doing all this without Matt Bushman too?
I mean, without Matt Bushman,
insane to think that. I mean, the guy, they're kind of doing this tight end by committee thing. And I want to know what we're looking at here with Gunnar Romney and his the nature of his injury, and what are we looking at there? Is it going to be Zach Wilson leaning on Dax Milne for the last half of the season?
So yeah, no, the fair question about Gunnar, and just from watching him on the sideline when I was in Houston, it was clear that there was something going on with his hamstring. He just didn't look right. BYU does have the luxury, though, of not playing Gunnar against Texas State and Western Kentucky. Like, he doesn't have to play in those games, and BYU should be just fine with Nilpau and Dax Milne, and you talked about the tight end committee, and they can throw in some guys like Keanu Hill and Cody Epps. They can give some young guys some experience. They'll be fine and just letting Gunnar rest. So they said he's a game-time decision. Frankly, I don't think that they're going to play him. I really don't. If he runs out there, then it's because Gunnar is like adamant that he plays, and
he wants
has convinced
pass,
the coaches that
he wants to pass Dax
play.
in those stats. I mean, he got passed up by Dax Milne. BYU's got two of the top five leading receivers in the country right now, and one of the best quarterbacks. I mean, I've been shocked. I know that Zach says he's not shocked because he knows what kind of a guy Dax Milne is, but to have that kind of a night, it's always good to see the side stories that end up coming out when a team. Because you can't go 100% healthy through the season. There's always going to be somebody up. There's always going to be the next guy up. Spencer Linton joins us here on KSL's Unrivaled. Okay, tonight on KSL 5 Television, you got to put on the hat of doing all the things.
Yes.
So what are you guys going to be talking about tonight on KSL 5 TV?
Okay, so we've got some updated Heisman Trophy odds to get to, because that's a thing now.
That's insane.
Which just It's stupid. It's silly, really.
It's awesome. It can happen. It's happened to BYU before, so get on the train and ride it.
Yeah, choo-choo, baby, choo-choo. So we'll be discussing that. You know, just your typical Monday night doubleheader that's become a thing in COVID.
I know. It's so, like, on the one hand, you're like, okay, I don't like a 3 p.m. kickoff for an NFL game on a Monday. But the Bills and the Chiefs are playing middle-of-the-day football, and the Chiefs got that win. And right now, Kyler Murray and the Cardinals are blowing up the Cowboys. It's 28-3 in Dallas. Kyler Murray went to Allen High School. Tijon Kuroma was snapping the ball to him back in the day at the Allen Eagles.
Wild.
It's insane to think that. But, Kyler Murray. I was the first to dog on Cliff Kingsbury when he went to Arizona. I went, this guy's fake. He is not ready for the big time. He's the next Lane Kiffin. He's going to embarrass himself at this level. And he's been so far they look really awesome tonight. Spencer,
looks amazing.
Thanks for hanging out with us, and we'll see you in the building in just a little while here.
You got it, brethren. Always good to catch up with you. Hey, and I'm in tomorrow and Wednesday too, so I'll come hang out in person.
Yeah, just come sit down, sit in with us, and let's just jam. All right, taking the break here. We'll come back when we return. College football is making some tough decisions. Among one of those, the possibility that they're voting on of a one-time transfer. Without question, you don't lose eligibility for a year, none of that. And some coaches are not liking it. Do you like it? 57500 is the text number. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled, KSL News Radio.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.